Hey, it's great to see everybody here today. Several months ago, I was praying about direction, and I felt like the Lord said that we need to set aside a day, and we're calling it Vision Sunday. And the idea is simple. We want to say thank you, God, for what you have done in accomplishing vision in our church and in our lives. And so that's what today is about. And so it's a way to say thank you, to share testimonies and stories of what God has done. Because how many know, if it's God's vision, God's going to do it, right? You don't want Pastor Wayne's vision. You don't want a denomination's vision. We want God's vision. And so that's what we're talking about here today. And you say, why is vision so important? I heard a story about three sons that left home, and they were very prosperous in life. And when they got back together, they were discussing their successes and the great gifts that they were each going to buy their elderly mother. The first son said, well, I sent Mom a Mercedes. The second son said, well, I bought Mom a mansion. The third one smirked and said, I've got you both beat. You remember how much Mom loved Pastor Wayne's message about it? No, never mind. How much Mom liked reading the Bible when we were young. And she can't see very well anymore, so I sent her this amazing parrot that recites the entire Bible. Now, it took elders in the church 12 years to teach this parrot. He's one of a kind. And Mom now just has to name the verse, and bam, the parrot recites it. Soon after this meeting of the sons, Mom sent out thank you letters to her boys. Andy, she said, this house you built is so big, and even though I live in one room, I still have to clean the whole house. John, she wrote, I'm too old to travel and spend most of my time at home, so I never use the Mercedes. Mark, she wrote to her third son, you are my favorite son. You have such good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was simply delicious. I'm gonna know you gotta have vision. You need vision. Why is vision so important? The book of Proverbs says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You see, something happens to us when we don't have vision. We don't have vision for what God wants for us. As individuals, as families, and as a church, we tend to stumble around, and most of us get in trouble. But the scripture says that when we have a revelation of the vision that God has for us, we are most blessed. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be blessed. I'd like my life to be blessed. What that means is when I align my life with God's vision, blessing is going to be the result. So what that means, the question is, okay, what's God's vision for me? What's God's vision for our church? Now, I've got some really good news. God has a vision for your life. He has a plan for you and for his bride, the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's not old at all. I mean, it's not new. It's been around for a very long time. Now, I could take you through five different parts of Scripture that describe the vision that God has, but we don't have that much time. I do. You don't. But I want to look at two here today. We're going to look at the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and you're going to see this vision that God has for all of us. Now, we're going to start in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, and if you've been reading the one-year chronological Bible, you've been in Exodus all week with the locusts and the frogs and the gnats and the darkness. That's great reading. I mean, who needs a soap opera when you've got the book of Exodus? I mean, it's one of the greatest stories of all time. But remember, the children of Abraham had the descendants of Jacob, now Israel, are slaves in Egypt. Matter of fact, they were slaves for 400 years. God raises up a deliverer, and his name was... We got to say that in good Ten Commandments movie version. Moses. You guys are good. You've seen the movie. And so God raises up Moses to be a deliverer for the people of Israel. And so Moses has this experience at a burning bush, and here's what God says. Say to the Israelites, Moses, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Those are some great promises that God says, Moses, this is my message for my people. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to gather you to myself so you're going to make it, you're going to be a light to the nations. That's God's plan. So what God wanted for the children of Israel in the Old Testament is the exact same thing he still wants for us today. Let me show it to you from the book of Ephesians. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesians church, and he's praying for them, and here's his prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me stop right there. If the apostle has to keep asking, we should keep asking too. That was totally free. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Most of us didn't know we had eyes in our heart. But he says, I want you to see things the way I see them in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So if we're going to take God's vision for his people in both the Old and the New Testament, we've boiled it down to four simple phrases: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. That's God's vision for all of us, for his church and me as an individual. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, the very first thing that God wants for everybody is he wants us to know him. God wants lost people saved. That's the story of the whole book, is it not? God's plan of redemption to reconcile lost men and women to himself. That's his heart. The only reason that we are still here is that there are more lost people that need Jesus. And so that's God's heart for people. And so when we look at in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 6, when God said to Moses, I'm going to bring you out, Israel, what this was a picture of salvation. Because remember, God brought Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. They were literally slaves. Can I tell you that without Jesus, we too are slaves? Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And so just as Israel was in slavery physically, without Jesus, we are in slavery mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Come on, somebody. And so the Bible says God brought them out. He even took them through a Red Sea, right, which is a picture of baptism. But remember that last judgment was the Passover. He says, I want you to put the blood of a lamb over the doorposts of your house, and when the death angel comes, he will pass over you. And God brought them out that way. Can I tell you that Jesus is our Passover lamb? And how many know when we have the blood of Jesus applied to our hearts, the death angel will too pass over us, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, all right? And so this is a picture of salvation, but I want you to look at Paul in Ephesians. He says, I pray that you may know him better. So Paul paints this picture that he goes, this is a relationship, not a religion. He says, I want you to know him. I don't want you just to know him in your head. I want you to have a living, breathing relationship with a God, a Father who loves you, because he made you. He created you. He knows every hair on your head. He formed you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew every detail about you. God did not create you to be lost. He created you to be found. He created you to be part of his family. And so that's what God wants for, that's what God wants for all of us, is that we will know him. Now, what that means is, as a church, is we exist as a church so that lost people can be found. Let me be very clear. We exist as a church to win lost men and women to Jesus Christ. That's our heart. That's God's heart. That's what God wants. God's got some lost kids, and he wants his found kids to go find some lost kids and bring them home. It's called the Great Commission. Have you ever heard Jesus say, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature? That's what God wants. And so that's our mission as a church. That's our vision as our church. Now, I'm happy to tell you that that vision is being accomplished, because last year, 630 people wrote their name at the bottom of the card. Hey, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, either for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Then 95 of those people went ahead and got baptized in water. So we praise God for that. Let me share you some stories that people shared with me. And I don't have time to share everybody's story, but let me just share a handful. Julia said, in 2018, my boyfriend started coming to church with me, and after a while has become a Christian. And now he plans to get baptized this year. Kevin and Vanessa said, we moved to Franklin, found grace, stopped drinking, and reintroduced God to our children. Thank you, Jesus. That's pretty awesome. Hannah says, before coming to grace, I was living a life of pain, anxiety, and hopelessness. After many months of encouragement from my friend, my husband and I started coming to grace in September for At the Movies. There's been no looking back for us. God was with me all of 2018, but it took Grace Assembly to see that. God has given me new strength and new hope. Knowing God and reconnecting to Him has truly changed my life. Kimberly says, I'm a recovering addict from alcohol. I never thought I'd be so involved in church, but I felt God so strong here. I was in foster homes my entire life, and now I'm returning the favor and becoming a foster parent. I prayed for my sisters to join me at Grace, and now they stand right next to me on Sundays praising the Lord. Jeff says, my story starts with five horrible experiences at church. How many know there are far too many that have that testimony? Bad experiences at church. He said, so I gave up on church, but I came here last September for At the Movies, and I've had the greatest experience. I went to Fight Club and completed a growth track. I thank God for this place. One more. Ryan said, I was an atheist. I found God in grace in 2016. Amen. You know, if somebody was winning a basketball game, that would be a nice applause. But the Bible says there's more joy in heaven just over one person, one lost person coming back to Jesus. So can we give appropriate thanks and praise to God for not one, hundreds. Amen. So if God has a vision for lost people being found, He wants people to know Him, how do we accomplish that vision? Well, around here, we partner together in Sunday morning services. Now, how many remember tag team wrestling? Okay, I'm talking about when it was real. Well, now it's all fake and staged. I'm talking about, you know, the blood was real and stuff like that. You know, they would tag each other when they get in. That's kind of how we approach it here, because, you know, when we're out and about living our lives, we're praying, we're investing in lost people, we're sharing our faith, we're encouraging them. But then when you come to church, you tag me, you tag all the people who are helping to lead and serve on the dream teams, and together we're working together to win people to Jesus Christ. Because we have made a commitment as a church that every single Sunday, we're going to give people an invitation to surrender their heart and life to Jesus. We may not be preaching about salvation or anything like that, but we always give people an opportunity to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. So let's work together. How about that? Let's work together in winning the people in our lives to Jesus. Matter of fact, here's your next step when it comes to the vision of knowing God. How about all of us, let's identify three names. Three people in our sphere of influence, where we live, where we work, where we play, people who don't have a relationship with God. They may know Him, but they don't know Him. And let's begin to pray for them and intercede for them. A lot of you fasted for the first time in those 21 days in January. How about let's take a meal a week or a month and let's fast now and pray for them to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus, okay? Invest in them, get to know them, talk to them about their favorite subject. You know what everybody's favorite subject is, right? Themselves. How you doing? Tell me about what's going on, all right? Begin to ask questions. Hey, and then invite them. Invite them to Christ yourself. You can certainly share your faith, or you can invite them to Grace, where they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ every single week. Am I in the right church? As a matter of fact, let me put this challenge out to you. How about in 2019, let's do 3 out of 52. There's 52 weeks in a year. 3 of those Sundays, everybody should have a lost person sitting beside them. Maybe Easter, maybe Christmas, maybe at the movies, and maybe just a regular old Sunday, because you know I'm going to give people an opportunity to surrender their hearts and lives. I think everybody should have the joy of playing a role in a lost person coming to know Jesus. Let me tell you, church changes when you have a lost person sitting beside you. You're like, because now you're praying for Pastor Wayne. Oh, I hope Pastor Wayne's got a good one today. Are you hearing me? you begin to see through their eyes. Instead of looking around and judging and criticizing what's going on, everything's focused on that lost person. How many are getting this here today? And so I want to challenge everybody to do that. Matter of fact, everybody's going to get a gift today. This nice gift that we have prepared for you because we want to celebrate the vision that God has for us. But inside, you're going to have some invite cards. And I want to encourage you to use those, begin to invite people to church. God doesn't want just people saved, though. He doesn't want us to just know him, but he says, I want you to find freedom, all right? So after we surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus, what do? Do we just hold on until Jesus comes back or till we die? No, God's vision is that we will find freedom. And in Exodus, he says, I will bring you out of Egypt, but then verse 7 says, I will free you from being slaves. Now watch this. They're already out of Egypt physically, but they weren't out of Egypt up here. They were still thinking like slaves because their dad was a slave, their granddaddy was a slave, their great-granddaddy was a slave, and it had become part of their mentality and their thinking. He says, now, I don't want you just to get out of Egypt. I want Egypt out of you. So he gives them the law. He gives them the Old Testament. How many are understanding? And so it's the same for us. Before we were saved, we would believe lies about ourselves and about God. Because the enemy is a liar. He will tell us, you're too this, you're too that, you've done too many things, you're broken, blah, blah, blah. He lies. He'll even lie to you about God. He'll say, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. You know, God can't use you. And so we need to begin to change our thinking. It's called discipleship. Align our thinking with God's word. And the Bible says that truth will set us free. Now, let me just stop right there. You can be going to church for a long time and still believe lies about yourself. We call them UGBs, ungodly beliefs. They're not from God. They're from the enemy. And see, something begins to happen when I begin to read God's word, meditate on God's word, and I begin to think and replace lies with the truth. It's called freedom. Look at the way Paul describes it. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He says, I want you to see clearly who you are. I want you to see clearly who I've created you to be. You are not a slave. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And that's where freedom comes from in God's vision for our lives. Now, you say, okay, how does that happen? Well, for us, it's groups. It's freedom groups specifically. Now, our goal is that everybody in our church will take part in a freedom group. Now, these groups began last week already, but I just want to encourage everybody, make it your goal to be part of a freedom group because this is where we get Egypt out of our head and our hearts. Matter of fact, I've got a few stories from people who have been through that. Donna said, freedom group helped me let go and forgive myself with the physical and mental and sexual abuse I endured as a child. Letting go of that pain allowed me to fully allow God into my life. Trini said, I've experienced more freedom in the last year at Grace than in my entire Christian life. I want you to imagine what it would be like to go to a church, to be a part of a family where we have dealt with our yesterdays. The baggage, the hurt, the pain. And we're walking together in freedom. Wow. God wants us free. So I'm happy to tell you that 353 people participated in a freedom group last year. So we're praising God for that. That's pretty awesome stuff. But listen, it's more than just freedom groups. We understand that just having groups, this groups fair we're about to do, why is it so important? Because we have to reject spiritual isolation. The more alone you are, the more lies you will believe. Lean in on this one, would you? The more isolated you are spiritually, the more you are tempted to believe lies about yourself and about God. You see, we all need each other, and we need people in our life that we can trust, that we can be real with. See, far too many people come to church and they wear this mask. How you doing? I'm fine. You're dying inside, you're struggling, but you're fine. We all gotta have people, listen, not on Sunday morning. We gotta have people that we trust, people that we can take the mask off with. And see, when the mask comes off, then comes freedom. The Bible says in James, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is a new thought for a lot of you, but we go to God for salvation, but we need other people in our lives for healing. So this is why the next step for everybody, is to join a group, all right? It's coming. There it is. Join a group. Now, I know joining a group for many people, that could be uncomfortable for some of you. It could be, listen, I promise you, if you'll take the time to invest in getting to know people and letting them get to know you. Listen, they're not going to show up at the first meeting and say, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. I'm recording on my phone to share with all my friends. That is not what groups are about. But it's an opportunity to build relationships so that you can walk this journey together. Matter of fact, let me tell you one testimony that Kelly wrote down and gave us permission to share. Listen to this. She said, last summer, I joined a small group for women that met one evening each week to walk at the church. I remember thinking it would be a great way to meet new people and exercise at the same time. Although there's something about walking and talking that makes you forget you're actually exercising. I didn't know anyone the first night, but it wasn't long before I felt a distinct connection. The leader was an army mom. I have two children serving in the military. Another was fighting to restore a broken relationship with an adult child. I was praying for the same. As we continued to meet each week, it was evident that God knew exactly what we were all going through and that he would bring the right person to meet our needs. When the fall session of small groups began, I was looking forward to meeting a few new faces and eager to be walking in cooler temperatures. Turns out I would only attend a few weeks before my life would be turned upside down. On September 22nd, 2018, my husband was involved in a motorcycle accident. He died instantly. The news of his death shattered my heart. It's impossible to appropriately express in words the unspeakable pain that I would experience. It takes strength to face our sadness and to grieve, but there was no strength in me. I struggled to breathe. I could hardly see through my puffed up red eyes. I couldn't even speak. God reminded me of Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A side note, each week our group spent a few minutes reading a verse and praying before or after we walked, and that was the verse at our meeting prior to my husband's death. Later that day, as my family gathered at my home, my sister asked if she could contact someone from my group to share the tragic news. Within hours, three ladies entered my house, wrapped their arms around me, and prayed. As I mentioned earlier, God knew exactly what I was going through, and he would bring the right person to meet my needs. He brought me Susan, a friend who knew the same pain of losing her own husband. In the days that followed, my small group rallied together, attending services with me, arranging meals, praying, encouraging, and even holding my hand, sitting in silence. They showed me I wasn't alone in my sadness and heartbreak, and it was okay that I was not okay. She says, I honestly don't know how I would have survived without their love. Gratefully, I never will. That's what God wants for the church. He wants it for all of us. Not alone. He says it's not good for us to be alone. He wants somebody walking with us. Listen, it's never going to happen until you choose to allow other people into your life and you get involved in other people's life. Am I in the right place here today? That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be connected as a spiritual community. Now, here's the good news. Over 1,000 people were part of a group last year. So we're taking steps. And so what's the next step for everybody? The next step for everybody here is to join a group, all right? So join a group. So after this service, go to the group sphere. Make sure you check out that link that's going to be posted this afternoon. Check out all the different groups that are going on. And just be brave enough to take that first step to get to know people, get connected to people. You see, Pastor, I just don't see any of those groups I like. Guess what? Let's start one. We'll help you. Let's start one. You see a need that's not being met? Let's start a group. Let's meet that need. How many are in the right church here today? We want to connect with God's vision. Okay, there's one more. So God wants us to know him. He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to, actually, there's two more. Our next step after that is discover purpose. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Exodus, God said to Moses, he says, hey, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to set you free, and then I'm going to redeem you. Now, that word redeem, a lot of us are familiar with. He says he wants to buy us back. He wants to restore us. And he says with an outstretched arm. So I want you to imagine the long arm of God reaching down into the pits, the slave pits of Egypt, pulling them out, cleaning them off, restoring them. Think about an old car that you would go to a junkyard. Some of you guys, this is your love language right here. You go to a car, you know, glass is broken, the upholstery is ripped. What do? With time and love, you restore. You put the new glass in. You refurbish all of these things. And next thing you know, something was restored to its original purpose. How many know it takes love to do that? See, God loves us so much. He says, I don't want you to just be saved, part of my family. I want you to walk in freedom, but you have a purpose for which I've created you. The two greatest days that of every person's life is the day that you were born and the day that you find out why you were born. But sadly, one study said 87% of Christians don't know why they were born. They don't know their purpose. And so we've got to change that. Because when you begin to realize that God created me for a reason, he gave me gifts and talents for a reason. I've been through stuff for a reason. You see, God's answer to every problem is a person. And God has called you for a specific reason to help somebody else, to serve somebody else. I'm preaching better than you're amening. You are not a mistake. God did not just accidentally made you. The Bible says before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you are believing a lie that you're just a nobody from nowhere. Nothing could be further from the truth. God put you on his potter's wheel. He said, I'm gonna make Joe. I'm gonna make Angie. I'm gonna make Jim in this specific way because I got a purpose for him. I've got a reason for him to be alive. I want you to imagine what it's like to be filled with a church of people who know their purpose. Okay, Pastor, that sounds exciting. How do I do that? I got some good news for you. It's called the Growth Track. Growth Track is four classes that we do, four steps. First Sunday of the month is step one. Second Sunday of the month is step two, step three, step four. There's a lot of purposes to Growth Track. You get to know the vision of the church. You get to know what God's doing. But our main purpose is when you leave Growth Track, you know your purpose, your gifts, your talents, how God's wired you so that you can serve God's purposes. All right? And I want to show you a story. This is Casey who's sharing her story about how Growth Track helped her. Watch this.
Hello. My name is Casey Hodges. I've been coming to Grace for about 5 years. Before this past year, I wasn't very consistent, but my motto for 2018 was that it was going to be a year of change, positive change. I started coming to church consistently that January. I joined the 90-day challenge of tithing. Also, I joined a freedom group with Justin and April Spoonamore. Amazing experience. I got baptized by my spiritual will. The only thing I hadn't completed was Growth Track. I always chalked it up to being too busy. I'd find time to do it sometime. This time, I was ready. I was all in, and I wanted to connect more at church. Growth Track introduced me to more amazing people. I learned some things about Grace history that I hadn't known, and aside from learning about groups and becoming a member, it gave me the opportunity to serve on a team. I knew right away that I wanted to serve in the nursery. Not only have I met some really amazing adults at Grace, but we have some really special kiddos at our church too. And I look forward to seeing their beautiful faces and fun personalities every Sunday. I'm so privileged to be a part of such a connected church. Grace offers so much to their congregation, from awesome pastors to the most welcoming atmosphere and church family, to amazing praise and worship and relatable sermons, to monthly baptisms, groups, conferences, teams to serve on, missions, and outreach. Grace has pulled me in, and I'm proud to say I'm a lifer to Grace Assembly of God. This is my church home.
Amen. Say thank you to Casey for telling her story. Thank you. All right, 233 people were in Growth Track. So you're in that last year. So everybody's next step this year is the Growth Track. Just make it happen. All right, be like Casey. You're not too busy. Just make it a priority. Take step one, step two. Matter of fact, next week is step three. You can start in step three if you'd like, and then just come back around three, four, one, and two. Just make it a priority. Be part of what God is doing at Growth Track every Sunday at 11 o'clock. Now, twice a year, we offer Growth Track one day, one day, all four steps, and our next time to do that is April 27th, if you'd like to take part of that. Okay, one more, because God wants us to know him. He wants us to find freedom. He wants us to discover our purpose, not so that we can say, hey, look at me. He does all of that so that we can make a difference in the lives of other people. Now, again, back to Exodus. He says, I'm going to take you as my own people. And Isaiah says, because I'm going to make you a light to the nations. He says, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to get Egypt out of you. I'm going to restore you to your purpose so that you can find fulfillment in making a difference in the lives of other people. That's good news. That's what God wants. As a matter of fact, the ultimate purpose, you can write this down on your notes somewhere. The ultimate purpose of my life is to make a difference in the lives of others. Again, far too many of us believe the lie that our gifts, our talents, our resources are for us. God did not create all of those things for you. He created those things so that you could use those things to meet needs in other people's lives. See, God looks around and all these people and all these problems and all these things and all these issues, and he says, I created Mark for that. I created Susan for that. I gave specific gifts to John for that. How many are here today? When we find our purpose and we begin to make a difference, something begins to change in our lives because I recognize my life is no longer about me. It's about me making a difference in the lives of other people. And psychologists tell us that this is ultimate fulfillment. When I begin to live my life for the purpose of serving others, something happens on the inside of me. Instead of emptiness, there's fulfillment. See, God is the one who created you like that. He designs you like that to make a difference in other people's lives. So God's answer to every problem is a person. Now, what that means, we have to stop thinking, we got to think about church a little different because it's no longer one minister. We're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all ministers of reconciliation. God has called us all to serve other people. Imagine what it would be like instead of one or two or the 80-20 rule getting blown up. What if 100% of us said, put me in, coach. I want to serve. I want to help. I want to bless. How do we do that? Well, around here, we do that through the Dream Team. We want you to join a team. We call our teams the Dream Team because we're making dreams come true in other people's lives. And so your next step then is to join a Dream Team at our church. Let me show you just one story. Don wrote this. He said, I serve on the Grace Cares Dream Team. I get to love people, serve people, and speak into their lives and be a reflection of Jesus Christ. I rejoice with them, grieve with them, and I help shepherd them. God blesses me to be a valley walker with people. But here's the greatest thing. I'm the one who walks away blessed. Blessed with friendships, love, care, and appreciation, and the knowledge that I have been allowed to impact someone's life in a powerful or simple way. You see, here's the thing. I'm not asking you to join a dream team for me. I'm asking you to join a dream team for you. Because what happens is when you do it, you begin to change. You become more like Jesus. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That's good. God did not create you to sit and soak and sour. My dad used to call people pew potatoes. Pew potatoes grow eyes and watch everything. You got to be a little bit older to get that, I guess. God did not create us for that. He created us to be part of a team, to serve, to bless, to encourage, to help. You say, Pastor, where can I do it? That's where the Growth Track will help you find a team. Let's make 2019 the year that everybody activates their gifts and talents and serves on a team. Can anybody want to believe that with me here today? That's good news. Now, by the way, we dedicated a room in our building to Dream Team. We call it Dream Team Central, right on the other side of that wall. Before each service, if you're serving on a Dream Team, there's food in there and coffee. And it's a place for you to check in, get your name tag. I want everybody to serve on the dream team this year. Now, so let's wrap this up. So how do we know when the vision is working? How do we know that God is accomplishing the vision? Well, this is one of the reasons I wanted to share with you all of these numbers, because the vision is working. So how do we know when the vision is working? It's when people are taking their next step on the journey. Here's what I know. No one here is at the exact same place as anybody else in their walk with God. But the key is, wherever you're at, you're taking your next step. And so I want to encourage everybody, take your next step. Let 2019 be the year that you take your next step. Matter of fact, on your message notes, I've listed some opportunities for next step. For some of you, you just got to take your next step, get baptized in water. Some of you, your next step is the growth track. Some of you is joining a group. Some of you is leading a group. Some of you, just your next step, hey, I'm going to begin to tithe and trust God with my finances. But whatever you do, let me challenge you today, decide you're going to take the next step. That's what God wants. That's my challenge for you today, to take your next step. See, some of you, your next step is the first one. To surrender to Jesus, to know him personally. This morning, I'd like to invite you to take that step if you haven't yet. Would you bow your head and close your eyes here in this room? I'm going to ask that no one be moving and walking around, but honor this sacred moment. If you haven't yet fully surrendered your heart to Jesus, would you do that today? If you haven't committed your heart and life to God, do it. Do you know him in your head but not in your heart? Is it more about a religion than a relationship? Then today, God invites you to be part of his family. And listen, God so loves you. He loves you. He gave his only son. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. The enemy's lying to a bunch of you right now. You've done this. You're too far. You've used up all the grace of God. It's not even possible for you to use up the grace of God. Receive the truth today. He loves you. So for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, I want you to confess your surrender to Jesus. Others around you are going to encourage you, but if that's you, I want you to pray this way out loud and say it. Dear God, I believe in Jesus. He's your son. He died for the sins I committed. I agree with you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I surrender. My life is yours. From this day forward, I'm following you. Holy Spirit, would you help me to fulfill the vision that you have for me? In Jesus' name. Now, would you keep your head bowed for just one more moment? How many would say, Pastor, that's me. I mean business with God. And today I pray that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise it up. God bless you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Come on. Keep raising them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking up in the stadium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, people are still raising them. Pastor, I'm in business with God. Today I'm making a decision to surrender my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you give God praise for about 8 people who surrendered their heart and life to Jesus just then? Amen. Now you know what to do. Take your next step. And when the service is over in just a moment, I'm going to give you the blessing. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to have a little party. We're going to give away some stuff. But when that's over, I want you to go to the information tent and say, hey, I prayed to receive Christ today. And they're going to help you. They're going to give you some information and some encouragement all along the way. I hope you're excited about God's vision for you. I'm personally very excited, because if 2018 was that awesome, I think 2019 is going to be even better than 2018, both in your life and in this church. So let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Let's get in. Let's jump in. Let's dive into what God's doing. Who knows how much time we have left before Jesus comes back anyway? Let's get serious about God's business of people knowing him, finding their freedom, discovering their purpose, and making a difference. Amen. So I want to invite you to join us in what God is doing here today. Now, let me give you just a little bit of a picture, some of the stuff we're working on for this new year. Next week, we're starting a series called Legacy. It's about heaven. It's going to be awesome. And we're having a preview day. We've got families that are coming, prospective students for our new school called the Indy School of Leadership. That's right. This fall, we're launching a college, partnering with North Central University to train people in business and media and ministry. We're very excited about that and what God is doing. We're starting all kinds of new groups. Later this year, we're going to start a new group for seniors, not seniors in high school. I'm talking about the other seniors, all right? The seniors that miss singing Love Lifted Me out of a book. We're going to start a group just for you, all right? We're going to sing hymns. I'm probably going to go to that group myself. I'm just going to tell you. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do the same for young adults. We're going to have a service. It's going to be all kinds of stuff for that. God's doing some good things. Let me share just a few more things, and then we'll get to this. Oh, yeah, we're going to be hiring a kids pastor. And First Wednesday's going to be exciting. We've got a great lineup for that. And we're going to do At the Movies at Christmas. We're going to believe that December is going to be the biggest outreach that we've ever done. So I hope you're excited about what God is doing. Amen. I want you to stand. Because you can't be at a party sitting down, right? Man, we've got one more song for you. You're going to love it. Okay, so after the song, Pastor Steve's going to dismiss you. And I want you to get your free gift. By the way, the free gift is only out these two doors. If you go out the side doors, it's not going to be there, all right? Once you get a gift, go to the hub. Talk to some of those group leaders. Connect with God's people. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Start up the party. You have rescued me. Now I'm living. Can't stop dancing. You have set me free. Raise the music. Start up. All I had was a hope and a wish. Nothing the world could compare to this. Eyes closed, I'm walking. I now know what faith is. I'm trusting, believing. My hands up, receiving. It's a new day.